Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's time now for City Matters, and today we're going to go off the usual and talk about something very, very timely. It's going to be a chiefly discussion because I have the fire chief and the soon-to-be fire chief with us, John Banks. How you doing?
Just fine. How you doing?
Well, I'm pretty good, and Mr. Topping, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
First of all, guys, it's an honor to have you both in here, and, you know, and having... seen the men and women who work with you for the last couple of years. You got a strong support system here. You got a great group, and it all starts with leadership. And that comes with leadership at all levels and everything. John, this is kind of mixed to hear because it's always great to see you. I'm pretty sure I'm going to see you again, but probably not in the capacity of a fire chief.
Yeah, I can assure you it won't be in the capacity of fire chief. I've this 3 days left, and I'm unemployed.
He says that with a smile there, Chief Topping.
Yes, he does, and he means it. I think he's really been looking forward to this for some time now.
No, okay.
Well deserved.
Well deserved. Well, a lot of hard work goes into being a firefighter, top to bottom, whether it's your first day on the job or your 42nd year.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your getting into it. First of all, that was just kind of different, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it was just something that, like I said, I had some relatives, or one relative that was a firefighter here in Bartlesville, and they kind of mentioned it to me one day. It might be something I might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So I took him up on it and started the process. And it took me, I don't know, about a year and a half before I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've enjoyed it. If I had a chance to do it all over again, I'd do it all over again. I have no regrets. It's the best job I ever had.
What's the coolest part of being a firefighter?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Man, just everything. I mean, you know, of course, fighting fire's fun if that's what you like doing, you know.
I don't know a whole lot of people that like running into burning buildings, yeah. But it takes a special breed, I guess.
I really, I don't recognize that so much, you know, but obviously that's true,
mm-hmm.
You know. But I think the people that do it for a living, the men and women that do it for a living, I don't think they think much about it. You know, I mean, that's just kind of like a police officers and military people. I mean, you know, I think it's a calling that you're called to do. And it's something that you just, you really don't think about it, you know, at the time,
mm-hmm.
Although it is dangerous. Now, I'm not going to say I haven't had my anxious moments, you know, over the years as a firefighter, as an incident commander or something, you know, wondering, is this going to go the way we want it to go? But yeah, it's definitely a calling. And like mm-hmm. I say, the men and women that do these professions in public safety, military, God bless them, you know. That they're willing to do it.
Indeed. It does take a special breed, a special character of a human being in order to do that. Want to introduce everybody. I think everybody knows David, but he is the incoming fire chief. And tell us a little bit about your interest in becoming a firefighter and now taking it all the way up to the top.
Right out of high school, I went. I joined the Army and spent 6 years in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of the Army, I was raised in a ranching tradition, and I mean just raised up as a cowboy. Mm-hmm. Left and went to the Army, and when I came home I was ready to go back to doing what I knew, and I was thought I was done running into where everybody else was running out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so went back to working on a ranch, and my father and some close family friends, you know, kind of teamed up on me and said, hey, you've got to you need a real job. You need something that you can depend on, because, you know, a cowboy wages is not going to work,
mm-hmm.
You know. And so I did have, I also had a cousin that worked for the fire department, retired from the fire department,
mm-hmm.
Or actually a couple of cousins. And so they were talking to me about I needed to put my application in. And so I started the process, and within about 10 months, they hired me, and I started as a firefighter. That's been a little over 32 years ago.
Wow. You've done a few things in between, from becoming your rank and file firefighter to becoming the incoming chief. What was it like going up the ladder, as they say?
Well, I don't know. It's just kind of a natural progression, you know. Mm-hmm. As you age through the department and you make the promotions. Mm-hmm. From firefighter to equipment operator, and then into a captain's seat, and then through the battalion chief, and then on up. It's just kind of been the progression, and man, it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed every bit of it, and it's went by extremely too fast.
Chief, same for you. Quick.
Absolutely. Dave and I, of course, I remember when this guy came to work. You know, I was a firefighter at Station
yeah,
2. And
John was my lead firefighter.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he was a rookie firefighter at Station 2. And, you know, sometimes we get black cats that come to work and seem like every shift we're catching a house fire, sometimes two at a time, you know. Dave was that guy. I mean, he learned quick.
We fought a lot of fire in the first year that I was on the department. And it was all with him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we blamed it on him for. But it's strange, you know. We have guys that come on, you know, that may go, you know, they may go several months before they ever catch a working house fire. You know, then we have guys that come on and it's like,
whoa,
every shift, you know, yeah. It's just happening. So, and Dave was one of those guys. He learned quick, that's what makes good firefighters. I mean, his experience. I mean, you know, you can't teach that stuff in the classroom.
Yeah.
You can't. Kind of like football. Looks good on paper.
Yeah.
But until you get out there in the mix of things, whoa, boy, it's a whole different story.
That's exactly right.
How has firefighting changed in the 42 years that you've been with the profession?
Oh, man. They would fire you if they seen you fighting fire the way we did back when we come on the job. I mean, you know, we didn't have... When I came to work, it's kind of the beginning of people that were really using an SCBA on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the guys, there's been a lot of safety measures that's come out. You know, we used to use rubber gloves, you know, to fight fire with. You know, we had a bunker coat. I mean, for the most part, the way I'm dressed right now, you know, I would just put on a bunker coat, a pair of rubber gloves, a helmet, and go fight fire. There is no way you would even consider doing that these days. You know, and there's just been so many innovations that's come through the fire service. SCBAs, the coats are Kevlar and Omex, you know, the insulation they have, leather gloves. I mean, we're fully covered, you know, Nomex mm-hmm. hoods and stuff. And we fought them every step of the way. Every time they came with a new safety, you know, deal, we didn't want to mess with that. You know, we didn't need that. It's took us probably from the most dangerous profession back in the days when I started to, you know, we're probably maybe in the top 15 now, you know, which is a good place to be. Number one isn't a good place to be in that situation.
Now, David, we go a little bit expanded now to just fighting fires. There's a lot of things, hazmat, everything else that comes along with the job now that probably might not have in the beginning.
When I first come on, we were I'd been working for a couple of years, and we started making that transition mm-hmm. from just firefighters to first responders and rendering aid. When I first come to work, heart attacks was about the only thing that we ran on. If it was a known heart attack,
uh-huh.
they might dispatch out because we knew CPR. But that has evolved into now, if you make a 911 call for any kind of medical emergency, the closest fire station is going to get toned out. Because in most cases, we can beat the ambulance by a couple of minutes.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so, you know, a couple of minutes a lot of times means the difference between whether that's a survivable medical emergency or a non-survivable medical emergency.
Chief Banks, it's all about timing, isn't it? I mean, you guys shaved off time year after year after year, just getting there. I mean, that's been like a determination point.
Well, absolutely. I mean, of course, the benchmark that everybody strives for is that under 5 minutes,
yeah.
You know, from time you receive the alarm till the time you're on scene, whether it's an EMS call or a structure fire. we I think our average is just short of that 5 minute mark, which is really good. I mean, you know, there's a lot of communities, larger cities and stuff that just have, you know, they can't, it's hard for them to maintain that time frame.
Some of them, depending on how large the city is, 5 minutes getting out the door because of everything.
So we're really proud of our department here in Bartlesville, the fact that they've we do have quick responses. You know, of course, we're a small town. You know, it don't take us a long time to get from point A to point B. You know, but and we've reduced our ISO ratings while I've been chief to you know, that helps everybody's insurance policies and stuff as well. You know, and I think that, you know, there's a good chance that we may be able to even lower, you know, maybe here the next time we go around.
Wow, that'd be great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now,
I'll put that on Dave. You know, I'm going to be gone.
Hey, Dave, no pressure.
I think he can pull it off.
No pressure.
Now, when we were covering the city going over, you know, one of the things that they wanted to do with the taxing bodies and things like this, one of the big things that they were looking at was to get some snorkel trucks. And how old are those things?
Well, our aerial fleet really is pretty old. The one that we're replacing that is a 85-foot snorkel that's at Station 2, and I believe is a 75 model. Is that right? I think it's a 75 model. We're going to bid it, a replacement truck for it, this fall.
Oh.
We'll probably be bidding like a 95-foot platform-type aerial apparatus. Our other ladder truck, we have a 105-foot aerial that is, I think it's a 98 model.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a 75-foot aerial that is a 02 or 04?
Mm-hmm.
02, I believe. And then, of course, we bought a little 55-foot teleboom, which is Station 2. Yeah. And we just received it. I mean, we just took delivery on it 2 years ago, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. And so we're in pretty good shape there. But, you know, that's something that these aerial apparatus are very expensive. I mean, they're very – well, fire trucks in general are expensive, but aerials are, you know, you're talking up close to $950 to $1.2 million. I mean, depends on how you equip them. And they're not – they're just getting higher. So, you know, we need that type of apparatus for these buildings downtown. You know, we're a very unique community. We're 36,000 people, and we got high-rise buildings, you know, downtown that look like a big city. I mean, you see us 15 miles out when you're coming into town. You know, you and
you do.
Yeah. We've got a skyline here in this city that you will not find in another city in
this
Oklahoma.
Size, yeah.
This size. I mean, usually you've got to get over 100,000 before you're going to have a skyline like we have. And
now,
so that's a whole nother unique set of responsibilities and that we've got to deal with.
Now, with these big snorkel trucks, you know, it's great to have them, but by golly, you pray to God you never have to use them.
Well, yeah, and you know, and we don't use those apparatus a lot, you know. And that's why they last so long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we'll keep an apparatus like that, you know, 30 years or longer. You know, of course, this one we've kept for 47 years. I mean, you know, it should have been gone a long time ago. But anyway.
Looks good, runs good. Not many miles.
But we're getting it out of here. And like I say, but realistically, that truck that will replace that, it takes a long time to get them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time you go through the bidding process and the pre-build process and then getting the truck built and delivery, you know, it will probably be early 2023 before we'll receive that truck.
Yeah.
You know, so it takes time to buy one. You know, it's hard to, it's not, you, they just don't keep them sitting on the lot. You just,
yeah, they're all custom made.
Yeah.
I went to, I lived in Gainesville, Ocala, Florida.
Yeah.
In Ocala, I think it's
E1. E1, yeah.
I went to the facility and they said, yeah, we don't really build the same truck twice.
Yeah.
We got a pretty good idea, but everybody gets gets a little something that they need usually for their community needs, and they go to great pains to make sure that when that thing is received in that community, it's going to stay together for a good 10, 20 years.
Yeah, and our apparatus, our E1s, about all our trucks are E1 trucks. you know, we've had real good luck with them, and they're well built apparatus, and they're going to last you a long time.
Well, they don't get a whole lot of turnover down there. They got craftsmen down there, and they really take a great deal of pride in
they
making sure that people see.
Absolutely.
Now, coming into the job, David, you're looking at a pretty good operation.
Yes.
And status quo wouldn't be bad.
Well, absolutely. You know, and one of the things is, I'm not going into this job with my eyes closed.
Nope.
I know absolutely everything that's going on.
Uh-huh.
I've been working alongside John in the management.
Uh-huh.
And been working as the deputy chief for the last 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And so, he's been preparing me for these 6 years, and we do a lot of stuff together.
Great.
And so it's going to be a good opportunity, and I think it's just we're going to have a really smooth transition.
What's the moment you're going to remember most of being a firefighter here in Bartlesville, John?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Because a lot of things happened in 42 years.
Yeah, in 42 years, there's just so much that I do remember and a lot that I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just been a great profession,
mm-hmm.
for myself, my family. I mean, it was a good fit for me. Man, the opportunities that I've had put before me while working for the city of Bartlesville, you know, coming through the ranks, making chief. I mean, you know,
that doesn't happen to everybody.
No, it doesn't happen to everybody. And you know, and not saying that it couldn't happen to everybody, but the opportunity just isn't there. I mean, you know, there's only you. It there's got to be a lot of things fall in place, mm-hmm. at the right time to even have an opportunity to apply for a position like, mm-hmm. that. You know, and I was fortunate enough that it worked out. You know, that I got an opportunity to be selected as fire chief, and like saying, I've met a lot of people through my career, met a lot of people since I've been chief that maybe otherwise I wouldn't have ever met, you know. I don't know, it's just everything. I mean, it's to pick out one single thing that happened that I'm going to remember, that would be almost impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, early on in my career, we had several downtown fires, I was on duty for the I come to work in April, and in July of the same year is when the Coppola building, which was the old city hall, you know, it got struck by lightning and caught on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in that. Brown Shoe Store, Waterworks Place downtown, the Plaza Bank out on the east side. There's some large fires that you remember, you know, that you was involved in. Those ones you don't forget because they don't come around often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, some people go through their whole career and never experience something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. To pick one thing out would be almost impossible. But I have enjoyed all of it.
There you know. Go. Now, I understand we even got a boat now, right? Fire department's got...
we've got a couple.
Yep.
Yeah.
David, you want to bring us up to speed? What are we doing here with Water Rescue?
Well, we started after our flood in 19.
Uh-huh.
We really seen, I mean, we recognized the need for a swift water. I mean, we've had it's a Rescue One boat. It's basically a flat bottom boat. It's more for stagnant water,
mm-hmm.
that's not flowing. And we've done a lot of rescues. We've done a lot of things with that. But when you start into fast moving water and flood waters and stuff like that, like we have a lot of,
uh-huh.
Periodically, the need, we recognize the need for these swift water boats,
yeah.
and the training. And so we, you know, some things fell into place, and we got about, what was 15 or 16 of
15,
our guys,
yeah.
certified,
yeah.
in swift water rescue. We just had a company come in. We've done a day of classroom and then done a day out at Hudson Lake on just getting everybody familiar with all of the stuff and an all-day event there at Hudson Lake doing the same drills in the stagnant water in a controlled environment that they would be in fast water. Ooh. And then we went to the big water park in Oklahoma City and spent all day down there doing swift water.
Wow.
And that was absolutely a blast. And the guys just loved the training. It was great training. And it gave them all, it taught each one of them what their capabilities are, how to navigate that water, how to recognize underwater features that most people wouldn't see. And you could just by looking at the way the water's moving and the eddies in the water, and you can look and say, hey, there's something right there. Wow. Underneath that water, so we don't want to go there. We need to stay to this side. It was absolutely great training.
I saw one instance where that boat came in handy. He was trying to get some half-naked guy down out of a tree at Caney River. That was a long, hot afternoon.
That'd be me 6 months from now, probably.
I'm just fishing!
Yeah, that we've got the swift water boat David was referring to. It's like a raft with a 25-horse motor on it. And that training, it give our captain stuff to be able to, the knowledge to be able to look at a situation and say, okay, this is something we can do, or this is something
we can't.
We're going to have to do something different other than get in the water. So, yeah, and we was going to plan on trying to get another 15 guys certified this last year. Then, of course, COVID hit, and that didn't happen. Because we had a lot of people that wanted the class, that the class was limited to 15 people. That wasn't our rules. That was the instructor's rules. So, and we had a large response from the guys. Man, a lot of them wanted to go. So we're hoping to, we was hoping to do that again this last year, but maybe that's something here in the next, finally slowly getting back to normal on this stuff. So maybe we can get back to
it's on the radar to do that class again and have some other guys have a bunch more, because I'm sure we're going to be able to fill that second class. Absolutely.
We got a lot more water around here than people realize. We've got everything from good sized creeks to the Caney River to ponds and lakes and everything else around here that you think Oklahoma, you think, well, water? Yeah, yep. Well, yeah, there's a lot of it around here.
Yeah, we got a lot of water.
We've got a lot of water.
We've also got a couple, I will call them banana boats. They're they don't really have they don't have motors on them. They're a paddle type boat for ice rescues, pond rescues, stuff like that. We also have a couple of those as well.
Yeah, we've got cold weather wetsuits for our firefighters to put on.
Oh, good.
So if they ever have to do an ice rescue and stuff, they're protected. They can put those on, go out and retrieve them, and come right back, and they're good to go.
My goodness sakes, got it covered from just all different angles.
I hope so.
Don't throw nothing new, man.
Yeah. it's constantly evolving, though.
It is.
And so we just try to stay a step ahead. And sometimes we don't do so good, and other times we do really well.
Mm-hmm. Man, it just seems like the job has expanded an awful lot over the years. Just, incrementally, not anything really sudden, but like you said, things progress over the years, and look to what we're doing and what we're able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, like I say, the equipment that we had when I came into the profession, and Dave, he talked about it a while ago, for the most part, we fought fires. We did some vehicle extrication. Mm-hmm. Didn't hardly have any tools to do it. We had to come along in a pry bar,
an axe and a hacksaw. Now we have got past that. We were
and now we've got hydraulic power tools, and we've got battery operated sawzalls and a lot of different equipment that looking back, I think, how did we even extricate some of those people?
The jaws of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a big day when we got those.
Yeah. It was. I imagine absolutely. So. Yeah. I mean, look how many lives that probably saved.
We were one of the only departments in northeastern Oklahoma. We were one of the first ones to have them. And so, I mean, it was a great step up for us when we got those.
Yeah. Wow. Now we had one set for years. Now we've got a set on every first run rig.
That's amazing. Yeah. That truly is amazing. One of the things I know you liked is when the school kids would come and visit.
Oh, yeah.
Were they able to do that this year?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Last year, of course, we shut everything down. We have had some requests going to some of the daycares and stuff, and we're trying to do things outside, so we're not in a classroom right now, because this stuff's still hanging around, mm-hmm. So So hopefully, you know, we're easing back into normalcy, I guess, instead of jumping in it, you know, which I think is probably a good thing. But yeah, we're starting to do some things, you know, with the kids and the public and stuff. And I assume that's going to continue. I hope hopefully it will continue to work its way back to what we have done in the past. I mean, you know, Fire Prevention Week didn't happen last year. October roll around this year, hopefully we'll get to bring the kids back to the station and stuff. We'll just have to see how things go. You know, it's
the guys like that, don't they?
Oh, man. And we've got some guys that are that
if it's
really
got anything to do with
it.
Kids, they're in. Yeah. They love the kids.
Now, what do they do when they get there? I mean, they're going to look at things. Do they get to touch anything?
Oh, yeah, they get to. We typically bring, I don't know, somewhere between around 600 second graders through the station during Fire Prevention Week. We bus them in to the station. The guys, we've got Sparky the dog. He shows up, and he's around there, and they smoke up part of the station. Of course, the first year we moved into the new station down there, and they set all the fire alarms off, and that was we learned a little bit from that. But anyway.
They work.
Yeah, they work.
They work. Yeah.
They show them videos. They talk to them about fire safety. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the kid. Let them run. Let them slide the slide. We got the new fire slide. We don't have a pole anymore. We got a slide, and the kids love that. So, yeah, it's a big week for us. You know, when we Fire Prevention Week, when we get to bring the kids, and hopefully that will happen this year. You know, last year we hated it, and I'm sure everybody else did too. But man, it just was what it was. You know, so. Maybe we'll get back to that this year.
Talking to some veteran firefighters here with Chief Banks and incoming Chief David Topping. I got to ask you, pole versus slide, where do you stand?
I'm a traditionalist. I love the pole, but you know, it happens with the safety standards and all of that. We were having too many injuries. And so the slide is the safest way. And so we had to move forward and go with the slide.
Man, I don't know if it's the safest way. Let me tell you, I slid down that thing one time with these polyester pants on when they first put it in. And I was dragging my feet trying to slow down all the way down. You know, I
thought,
yeah, he was out of control. And but anyway, yeah, it's Dave's right. The pole was cool, you know, but... You know, waking up from a dead sleep and running 20 feet and then jumping on a pole and hoping you're awake enough to realize what you're doing. You know, we had guys that missed it, you know, over the years. And so, yeah, it is probably a much safer route to get from point A to point B. But I like the poles. The poles were cool, you know. But I understand why they, just like we said, we fight them every time they come up with a safety issue, you know, something that's safer for us. You know, we don't like it, but we eventually adapt to it, I guess.
Well, you know, I guess being a kid, you know, you see that in some of the movies that they would show you in class when you're a grade school kid, you know, the firefighters all running for the pole, and I'm sitting there going, man, that looks cool. And then to hear they got a slide, it's like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a gentler ride.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on if they've just waxed it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Because when they waxed it, it's not a gentle ride. I promise you, it's not a gentle ride.
Oh, no.
That's right. It spits you up at the bottom.
Oh, boy. Check your ankles.
That's it.
Well, gentlemen, this has really been a great half hour having you both on here. And John Banks, thank you on behalf of everybody in this community for your years of service.
Well, thank you. Like I say, I've enjoyed every minute of it, and I know I'm looking forward to getting out of here. But it's been a good profession, and like I say, I just love everything about it. I'm kind of glad it's over, but it's a but you know it. I know it will be an emotional day on Wednesday, but I'm good with it. I'm ready to go do something else.
Very good. And incoming Chief David Topping, and you know, you've been with us for a good long time too, and looks like a good many years to come.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward and looking to keep moving the department in the right direction, going forward and serving the citizens of Bartlesville. doing the best job we can.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for being with us today, and continued good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.